Welcome back, everyone. So it's been an eventful few days, really. We've, you know, last week we took care of the setup and the initialization and everything. We took...
You just leveled up.
Did you just level up? He was so excited during the break. He was just sitting there just, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he's quite happy.
There you go.
He got a screenshot in there. There you go. So yeah, you know, we went through the 100 level, if you will, of setting up the project, getting the templates into place, you know, loading up our Enchant.js files, getting the plugins in. Then we switched to maps. We took a look at getting the player in there, loading sprite sheets, you know, doing basic animation, movement, right? And then we worked our way all the way up, and we got, you know, different
interactions,
scenes,
shops,
interactions.
Combat scenes, yep.
Yeah, so
hidden paths.
It's a pretty full-fledged game now.
Yep.
But I thought, why not take a few minutes here at the end, and we'll talk a little bit about polishing and extending your game.
Sure, why not?
I know you've got a pile of ideas around this. So the first thing that I want to add here is, you know, you got to polish this a little bit. Don't just slap it in the store.
Especially with other people's art.
Exactly. Like, you know, that's not our art. That's not, you know, art that I'm sure they don't want pushed in the store constantly. So the first thing you want to do is swap out some default art, right?
Mm-hmm.
As well as you want to change things like little things. Like, even if you weren't to extend it fully, you got to change a little bit of it there to make it look good in the store, right? So one of the number one things is change the icons. You don't want to have that default Cordova icon.
Right.
So that's one major thing.
So you're not even allowed, really.
You're not even allowed. So you want to change that out. Same with the default loading screen. You want to get something kind of flashy in there, maybe meet your game. If you're doing a Might and Magic RPG, you want that in there. If you're doing fantasy, sci-fi, whatever it might be, make sure it kind of matches and starts drawing the player in right away. Because the loading screen is the first thing that they're going to see from your game.
That's right.
So you want to give them a good impression right off the hop.
Yep. And we covered how to launch scenes and things like that. So you'll also be able to add in main menus, which we didn't do, or your company logo or whatever, or just a picture of you giving a thumbs up, whatever you want.
The splash
screens. That's right, the splash screens. You got to put those in there. Any proud donors like your mom or whatever that gave you some money to make this, you could put her in there. That's right. Credit screens. Credit screens are very important. It's your first ship game. You might as well give yourself credit for all the hard work you did. And credit.
Give yourself some good titles in there too.
Yeah, that's right. So you want to work all that stuff in, and it's just basically adding that scene, popping it on, pushing it on, popping it off the stack over and over again to go through those layers, add a custom button. When you click on it, it just pushes the next scene on, right, and pops the current scene off, and so on. And you can just troll through your lists of menus until you get to your main game and then get to where we're at. So that's one thing that you would definitely have to polish is it's expected that you have
You want a menu. You don't want to just go straight into the game. It feels a little odd.
That's right.
It feels unfinished, to be quite honest.
You want to put that in.
Yeah. Another thing you might want to take a look at, and we were talking about this when we were talking about cross-platform development, is once you get the game, the whole game itself, pretty much set up and ready to go, your next step is you want to look at the platforms that you're targeting.
Right.
So in this case, we've been targeting the Windows Phone. Maybe you want to take a look at what's specific to the Windows Phone that can really light up your game.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Windows Phone, you got things like live tiles, you got push notifications, right? Maybe you want to access the camera and take a picture of yourself when you beat that first boss, right? From the camera or something.
Yep.
You never know what it might be, right? You can include a lot of that. So take a look at the platforms, see what's specific to the platform, see what you can do that's really going to like highlight that feature or raise your game up, right?
And again, those are advanced features that, you know, if we come back in the future.
We're hoping to do,
that's
yes.
Right, that you could expand and integrate and really take advantage of whichever platforms you find your game is taking off on,
mm-hmm.
right? There, some of these are really just add-on features that your users will enjoy during an update. And updates are always good because it floats you back up into the high ratings in the store for recently updated and you get more exposure. So you always want to have sort of an update schedule. Okay, you can't have every feature right when the game releases. It's, you know, you could, and 20 years from now when you get it done and nobody has that phone, great. you want to roll them out over time as well. It keeps your game relevant in the store. It keeps your users knowing that you are working on this content. So even if there's minor bugs, they're not too worried about it because you're going to, you know, hammer those out while you're updating stuff, especially when they let you know about it, screaming and yelling on the forums. And that's what you want. They want to see. They want to see that the game is being cared for, that it's being developed on the fly, that, you know, you could fix those things and put these features in as you go.
Well, and, you know, personal experience, I've noticed that if I release a game early on, I shouldn't say early on in the development, but I've released it pretty quickly after the development cycle, and then I go back after, say, a month or two and I do an update, I can watch my downloads actually peak every time I do an update, because people are like, oh, this has been updated. And maybe someone that installed it, that maybe uninstalled it, sees that there's an update, and they're like, hey, I want to check this out again, and they download it. And so that's a good way to keep the momentum of your downloads continuing to go up. Plus, like you said, it helps build that community that you're building with your audience. If you're constantly giving them updates, they feel like they're part of what's going on.
That's right.
Right? And you and accepting their feedback is another big thing. As they reach out to you and they say, you know, I don't like the color of this. It's making me feel nauseous. Maybe you want to change that, right?
More colorful words. But I mean, yeah. You gotta understand what the underlying message that they're trying to, you know, eloquently inform you of. That's the important part. And then when you take that, you adjust things and you roll it back out.
I love how political you were about that. That was really good. But yeah, you know, you're gonna get the bad feedback.
Years of experience.
Expect it. Not everyone's gonna love your creation. In fact, people are probably gonna knock it down just because you created it.
Yeah.
So accept the bad and with the good, because at the end of the day, any feedback that you can get is good feedback.
Yep. There's just like playing every game. There's no bad games to play because you'll always learn something from all of them. Don't do it this way. Or that was a good idea, but bad execution. How can I re-implement that in a slightly different way? There's lots of things to be learned also just from feedback. It can be bad feedback, good feedback, well-written feedback. Okay, it could be suggestions, but there's always you'll see trends of what people are sort of hinting around. Sometimes a lot of people playing the games, they're not great at describing what the problem is. They just know there is a problem. Something feels off, and they'll complain about it in four or five or millions of different ways. And you need to try to figure out what is it really that they're trying to describe that's actually the problem. And then, you know,
if you get 10 people, you know, complaining about the fact that the buttons don't feel right.
Yeah, if they're
sticky. If they're just saying, you know what, the buttons don't feel right. They feel sticky. They don't feel responsive. Maybe you need to go back and look at your input system and say, am I waiting too long between key presses? Mm-hmm. Are the keys not spaced out properly?
Is it simply that frames per second that we set to 15 being too low and not responsive enough? Something like that as well.
So yeah, it definitely, you know, getting it out there, getting the feedback is very important.
Yep.
And I actually tell people all the time, it's just release it as soon as you can, because at the end of the day, if you sit on this, like you said, the target that you're aiming for might have moved on.
That's right. You can miss your opportunities.
Exactly, right? So that's a little bit about polish. Obviously, we could go on for, I'm sure, hours on how to polish your game and stuff like that. But I'm going to move on to the next slide, because I know he's just chomping at the bit to give you guys ideas. So here we go. Extending your game. So, have at it.
Okay, so we got some simple ones to start out here. I tried to throw out some ideas for everyone. If you haven't done a lot of programming or this is your first game or you just want to feel your way out, even more character progression. So you basically go to our little levels array, right? And you can fill in more levels. So now you can just grow even farther. We only put 3 in, but I mean, you can extend it as much as you want. That's an easy one. Implement a secret forest path. I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we showed how to do that. You could put in 2 or 3 more to get your own map. You could make it very maze-like, and so you have to sort of wander through the woods. In fact, just going and putting only nothing but trees and those secret walk-throughable trees in the map, you just made an incredibly, you know, dense forest that they have to sort of feel their way through the maze.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they might see an object where they want to get to or whatever, or a fight they want to get to, and they got to remember how to get there and then how to get out and so on, and look for other paths and so on. You can do something like that. We have everything you need in there, so you could try something out like that. More enemy types. We showed you how to drop in different kinds of NPCs and a brawler. You could put in other ones that have different attack ranges, different levels of hit points, are worth more gold.
Go even further and add more than one enemy attacking at a time.
Yep.
Right? So add a group of enemies.
That would be the, you know, getting into a little bit more complex there, right? So I was starting with the easy ones, but we jump ahead there. A healer that heals for cash. So again, that would be a non-combatant NPC that helps you out. We could set that one up. Removing enemies once you defeat them.
Yes.
I mean, that'd be great. It makes it feel a little bit more like a game instead of
a... Or maybe even if you did like a semi-persistence where they die and then it leaves like a little sprite on the screen, like a tombstone or something.
Sure.
So you know that you attacked
You defeated that guy and you moved on. Yeah. that would work fine as well. So those are the kinds of basic ones that I was looking at.
Yeah.
What was the next one on the list there?
So items in inventory that affect your combat.
Right. We talked about that one already. Items in inventory, you'd have to put a little sub-menu in, which we showed you how to do menus, and you can just override the menu that's already there by putting in your own message, and then let them select from the current inventory list which one you want to use, and then apply it in whatever way you feel it should affect the combat. Again, it could be something quirky, like you challenge them to a battle of wits, and now it relies on your intelligence and that enemy's intelligence. So now it's not just about fighting strength. You might have a different intelligence than somebody else, and you can outsmart the Cyclops.
I keep thinking of the Princess Bride scene.
Exactly. Now, you would think that I would put the poison in the... Yeah. Yes. All right, you could do something like that. We could also go to consumable items. Maybe once you've used these items, they're gone, and then you have to spend more. So they'd, in that case, you probably want to make them a little more powerful so that you can really defeat somebody if you use it the majority of the time. And then that way there's an economy to your game now. You want to buy items, use items, buy items.
You know, and you know where that's leading me right away, right? I'm thinking to myself, so if I'm going to put consumables, I'm going to monetize them.
Sure.
Right?
Like, monetization. Users can now purchase items in-game with a little bit of cash if they ran out of in-game cash and they're getting into a tough spot and they really want to keep leveling. You know, you could pump in some cash there and get a couple more potions or a sword or a chessboard or whatever they needed and continue on. And, I mean, again, that's beyond the scope of, of this one. And that does go into platform specifics and so on. And that's why we've sort of left it out of this one. But it's totally doable. It's something you can monetize and... You could make a pay-to-win game or not. It's up to you.
Please don't make a pay-to-win game.
Make it a little more balanced. At least you can get everything. And then magic system. So now we're into the really advanced ones. Mm-hmm. I guess monetization also would be a more advanced topic. But you could make your magic system as simple as just overriding the attack to actually say it does something and do it. Or to some much more convoluted magic system. Maybe when you select cast some magic, you then have three or four different runes that you know, or magic words that you know, and depending on how you combine them, what kind of spell it casts, and then depending on what kind of enemy you're fighting, it does more or less damage if they're vulnerable to it or not, and you get your sort of Diablo resistances and so on in there. Oh, he's an ice enemy, and I used an ice ball on him, that didn't do much. If I use fire on him, that's a bit better, and so on and so on. And you could build that into the magic system. You could, you know, make it as complex or as simple as you want. And so that one's a big area that we've left open, you know, that can be expanded quite a bit.
Yeah, the larger scrolling levels is another really big one.
And that's right.
I really wish we would have had a little bit more time to include that, because when I feel like an RPG, I feel massive world, right? And I really want to get that feeling inside the game.
Next time. Okay, there we go. So larger scrolling levels. There is a function in there that actually tries to center the camera on the player, but because the map is not big enough
to actually move, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So there's part of the code in there if you want to go.
We started the process.
It's in there. And again, you could look at also that book that has some pointers on how to do some of that kind of stuff as well. And then level exits and entrances to other levels. I mean, this is a nice, simple little demo area to play around with. We could put an exit somewhere, or you could find a secret exit somewhere. You could swim off into the ocean and find another island. You could do whatever you want. Basically, all you have to do is when the user gets to that exit and interacts with it, in other words, you treat it just like it's any other NPC that we've already played with, the action is to, you know,
remove this
scene, load a different scene that uses different level data. And that's really all you would have to do there. Or you could get even more complex, especially if you had the scrolling world, and you could have layers. So you could go below ground, or maybe you could climb a mountain and go above ground into the clouds, and then there's a cloud level, and so on. And you can do it however you want, but the simplest way is still that interactable object that just punts the scene and puts another scene in, and away we go. But there's other ways to do that as well.
No, these are great, great pointers, right? And honestly, we could probably sit here and rattle them off for days on end.
Yep.
But this kind of leads me to my next thing. Like, I was thinking, you know, why don't we just come back? We'll do another MVA in the future. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we'll implement some of this.
So if everybody's happy, then I guess there's that poll, right?
Yes.
You can always give some glowing feedback in the poll so that we can come back and just expand. And also, you know, tweet out some questions or some features you might like to see. Maybe that'd be good because we can harvest them for next time around as well.
Yeah, and to the Twitter point, that's great. Yeah, please reach out to us. Let us know if there's anything that you'd like to see added to the game or something that you're curious about. We'll definitely answer those for you. Sure. As well as my challenge to all of you is, when you go out and build these games, let us know. Tweet at us. Let me know what's going on. Let me see this game, and I'll do my best to, like, you know, kind of boost it up and let people know about it. And yeah, I'll give
you some good feedback. I'll play it and break it.
Yeah, he'll play it all day long. He'll give you some great feedback. So yeah, definitely reach out to us. Let us know what you're building with this template, so we can and continue the conversation there.
I'm always up for more research. It's all good.
Research, yes.
Research.
And like he mentioned, please take the time to fill out the poll at the end. That basically lets us know, you know, did you like what the content was? You know, is there things that you're looking for that we can do in the future? You know, it just gives us general feedback. Like we were saying, feedback's important to game developers. Yep. It's also important to presenters.
Yep.
So we'd definitely like to know how we did and like to get your feedback on that.
Yeah. Well, it was a good time.
It was a great time. Thank you all for taking the time to sit down with us and to listen to us talk about one of the awesome things that we get to do, and that's build games, right? This has been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see all the stories that you guys get to tell with us.
Happy adventuring.
Yes. Thank you very much.